The views and opinions expressed on the following podcast are those of the persons appearing on the program and not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Center for ADHD Awareness Canada. Welcome to another edition of Club ADHD, the podcast. I'm your cordial and ADHD host, Russ LeBlanc. In a minute, gotta check things out here. Yep, that's me, all right. And I'd like to welcome you, and I hope you're having a great day, and the past few days have been good for you. As for me, a little bit challenging these past few days. And before I get into it, I just want to remind you about Club ADHD. If you're a new listener, hey, this is a place for we folks with ADHD, adults with ADHD, or people who want to know more about ADHD. That's always good. I wish there were more people out there like you if you're fitting that category. Of course, Club ADHD is not only the podcast. We have our Twitter account and our Facebook page. Visit clubadhd.ca for the links, as well as a complete list of all the previous podcast editions. And by the way, if you happen to be on Stitcher or Apple iTunes, Google Podcast, Player FM, Radio Public, Spotify, Overcast FM, and a few others that I can't remember, hey, we're listed on there. Club ADHD, the podcast, they felt it worthy enough to list our little old ADHD podcast on their websites, on their, I don't know what you call them, but their places, yeah. And you can just go into one of those locations and type in Club ADHD, the podcast, and you will see our entire list. Club ADHD is brought to you by our friends at the Center for ADHD Awareness Canada, otherwise known as CADAC. I've said it before, I'll say it again. They have a great website full of information. They are very helpful people when it comes to ADHD, and they are very in tune with what's going on, and they wave that ADHD flag. They are advocating ADHD as a credible thing. I was going to say disorder, but that sounds so negative. But yeah, it is classified as a disorder. CADAC, that's the name of the place to go when you want to check out the website. CADDAC.ca. Lots of great information, initiatives, blogs. Heidi Bernhardt, who is the top person at CADAC, she puts out a regular blog. Lots of very interesting information on that as well. And they have another thing called ADHD Speaks. I told you all about it. If you're not familiar with it, hey, you can get involved. Just visit their website, click on ADHD Speaks, and do the right thing. Take a little video of yourself. Tell us your story, and who knows? Maybe we can make some really big changes. Of course, if you're not in Canada, no worries. We have listeners throughout the world. You can still get valuable information from their website, the Center for ADHD Awareness Canada. Now, let's get back to what I was about to tell you. Yeah, it's been a rough go. I lost a friend of mine, a friend I met in broadcasting several years ago. He was a big name in broadcasting in several Canadian markets, Ottawa being one. Let me see, Toronto, Windsor, which is, you might as well say it's Detroit, Michigan market. And if you're of an age closer to my age, I'm a little older than your average bear, whatever your average bear would be when it comes to age. But hey, you know, 60s, ugh, I shudder even when I think of it. Not thinking that I'll be in my 60s. I am in my 60s. Ah. But you might know this name, Mark Elliott. His real name is Niles Johansson, or was Niles Johansson. He passed away around 4 days ago. And Niles, well, he led an interesting life. He had success in broadcasting, but with success came challenges, addictions, and drugs. It really impacted him hard, took a lot of them. To the point that when he was in Ottawa, Ontario, that radio market, his bosses said, We're taking you off the air. You've got to get clean. And he did. It took a while, but he did. And he went to other markets and became successful there. But not only did he, you know, continue being a broadcaster, he wanted to help people. And he created a program called People Helping People. And it didn't stop there. Not only was he a broadcaster, he became a counselor for people with mental health issues, in particular, people who are suffering from addictions, drug addictions, booze, whatever. And that was his specialty because he was once one of those people, as is the case here. You know, I have ADHD. It's best that if you're going to get help from a person, it's best, it's not always the case, but you can be better understood if that person experienced or experiences what you are going through. And that's what he did. He helped people. He helped me. Before I was diagnosed with ADHD, I had a big problem with depression as I got older. And, you know, I still battle it. But there was a time when, yeah, I was struggling. And I had mentioned it to him. And he said, I'm going to help you. I'm going to try my best to help you. And he did. And it wasn't just a 5-minute conversation. We spoke for hours on a regular basis. He extended a helping hand, and I'll never forget that. So, Niles, I'm going to dedicate this episode of Club ADHD, the podcast, to you. I hope you're resting in peace. Niles Johansson, Mark Elliott. Well, how are you doing? Are you okay? Better than okay? Maybe not so well? Whatever way you feel, I hope that you'll get something from this podcast. That is our mission, to help all of us, right? We are people with ADHD. We have something to offer. We are valuable. We might not think that, but yes, we are. We're so caught up in what people think, what other people think. And yeah, it is an issue. Of course, there are people who spread the wrong information about ADHD, and we should be concerned about that. Because ADHD, as we know, it's real, and it's up to us to educate people because we do have something to offer. We really do. You might not think that at this time, but yeah, we do. Boy, the soapbox is getting a little shaky here. I'm leading up to our conversation during the interview portion of the program. I think we have a really good interview, but then again, we always do, right? I hope you're saying, yeah, you do. And if you're saying, no, you don't, please don't tell me. I'm very, very, apprehensive with the negative comments. Haven't received any, and, well, you know, we ADHD people, we want to be accepted, not rejected. In any case, yeah, we do have an interesting interview, and we're going not in our own backyard. We're taking a trip across the pond. Not just any old pond, the Atlantic Ocean. I wish I could have taken a trip to do this interview. No, with Skype, we can talk to people all around the world, and that's what we did. So now, without further ado, let's get to the interview portion of Club ADHD, the podcast, edition number 40, I might add. There you have it. That sound makes it official. It's the interview portion of the podcast, and we've got an interesting chat lined up for you. But then again, don't we always? Yeah, I'm partial. If you answer the question, no, you don't always have someone interesting, please don't say anything. Don't let me know. I'm a little bit, you know. Well, and if you love it, let me know. I'm sure a lot of us can feel that way when it comes to being judged. In any case, I came across this person by way of our Twitter account, Club ADHD on Twitter. And this person has been following Club ADHD through his Twitter account for a little while now. And when somebody does follow us, I usually reciprocate. And in his case, I did. And in doing so, I noticed someone who is very active when it comes to letting people know what his life is all about, what he's experiencing, the challenges, the benefits, all that stuff when it comes to especially ADHD. And a lot of people find it interesting. I can say this truthfully because He has over a couple of thousand followers. So you have to be interesting in order to get that many people to follow you. Maybe a lot of those people have ADHD. Maybe some of them don't. But in any case, they're learning from this man, and I like that. His name is Scott Laddie. And Scott, he's been described as a care assistant, an actor, a presenter, an author, all sorts of stuff. And a matter of fact, when he was diagnosed with this ADHD, he just didn't sit on his hands because eventually he thought, I'm going to make something out of this and I'm going to help people. And that's what he wants to do. And he put together something that's somewhat unique. Well, it's a lot unique. He created a script about a person with ADHD. And he is in the process of hopefully getting this thing put on the big screen, maybe. You know, it's not a movie type thing, but it is something that can be featured maybe on YouTube or wherever. But right now, he's talking to people when it comes to helping him market this to the right people, the money people. Yes, I'm not going to get totally into it because Scott will, he'll tell you about it better than I can. And oh yeah, Scott hails from across the big pond. If you're in North America, the big pond is, no, not the Great Lakes. Not the Pacific Ocean, the Atlantic Ocean. Scott lives in northern England, Newcastle to be exact. To be further exact, Newcastle upon Tyne, not far from the Scottish border, just in case you're looking it up right now. But as I had mentioned, a good conversation. And well, without further ado, let's talk to Scott Laddie as I start off the chat with, tell us when you were first diagnosed with ADHD.
Okay, so I was diagnosed with adult ADHD at the age of 33. I'm now about to turn 41. Scary Mary.
So how are those years been?
Troubling, struggle. I was never an academic at school. I hated lessons, especially maths. I can't stand numbers. They hate me as well. I excelled at sport. So anything with a ball mm-hmm. in my hand, I was fantastic. I could play basketball, football. Do you guys call it soccer?
Yep.
Cricket, archery, basically most sports I could turn my hand to, I excelled at. I was very good at basketball. I played for a local basketball team, a local football team or soccer team, as you might call it. I was captain of a few teams.
Okay.
I loved it. Absolutely loved it. But I don't do it anymore, which is unfortunate.
But you had to be popular to be a captain, right? I mean, did you struggle at all in your scholastic time, bullying or anything like that?
Yeah, but then I think that was just your typical, because my teeth weren't, I think I either had too many or the shape of my mouth wasn't good. So I have what I call it, goofy teeth. I had two front teeth, like Bugs Bunny. I was bullied for that, mainly for being spotty and just, I think just for being me, maybe. I'm not sure, but I definitely remember being bullied.
Right.
But and I do remember getting bullied by my sister, who's 2 years older than I am. But she joined the army. But we're very different people,
right.
Extremely different. But I can certainly remember some things. I've had flashbacks of my childhood, which is why I'm now seeing a psychologist, because the things that are, it's hard to describe. I don't mind admitting when I was about 19, 20, I think, I had suicidal thoughts
mm-hmm.
that my life was just not worth living in my eyes. I struggled. I went to college, but I just didn't know where I fit in the world. And, you know, my family was so, I don't know, I was just so, I couldn't relate to it. I couldn't relate to anyone. And these
really?
Thoughts just kept appearing in my head. The only thing I did do is put two hands around my neck. I didn't squeeze as such, but, and I think the reason why I didn't do anything was because I was scared to.
Mm-hmm.
It was an attention seeking. It was a kind of, oh my God, I need help. but it was a really horrible experience. I do remember I did speak to my mum. We have an okay relationship. It's a little bit we're building on it. But she probably doesn't remember her saying it, but I asked her for help. She said, no, it's your problem, not mine. So I think she was struggling with mental health, which is a shame, because I needed that guidance. I needed that support, but I don't think she could. Mm-hmm. And that's the bit I've struggled with, because in my head, being a parent myself now, that you go out of your way to help or be whatever you need to be for your parent, for your child. But it might be that I've had to come to acceptance that maybe that she couldn't give what I needed, which isn't, it's still not nice. It's still, I'm having to validate myself a lot more, because I was very dismissed as a kid. Uh-huh. And it's really hindered on my mental health and my confidence issues. I have a self-esteem problem. You know, although I do all these things, I sometimes put a front up, as what a lot of people do, probably.
Yeah, especially with ADHD, yeah.
Yeah, so I was really scared. I had about three or four bouts of depression. Mm-hmm. I rushed into relationships far too quickly. I got engaged to an American lady, to another lady, and I'm now married, thankfully. I needed that stability. I needed that security. I needed that to know that, you know, I was lovable, because I didn't feel that I had that love and support from the very people that I thought were going to be the ones to do that unconditionally. I have to say that I'm closer to my dad than I ever was. We've had major arguments. I think he has ADHD as well.
Well,
yep. Although he doesn't want to be diagnosed, bless him.
Runs in the family.
Exactly. And I think my mum has it, but again, she's been diagnosed with bipolar, whether it's been... but I do remember I had a conversation with her, and her doctor said, and it was quite appalling, that apparently he said, well, you've lived with it for this long, why change it? And I was like, you're joking me.
Really?
That's so unprofessional, so unhelpful. Hmm. So I kind of, and I said to my psychologist, I feel like I've kind of brought myself up now. I'm more resilient than I realize. I'm a lot stronger emotionally and mentally than I realize. And I think throughout the experiences I've had, or the lack of them, and you know what I've done, where I've put myself in situations, you know, I've got a lot more to offer the world. Mm-hmm. And I like to help people because of those experiences. Because you see it every day. And you see it on Twitter, you see it on Facebook, you see it. I'm not on Facebook myself, but I have seen it. And you hear it. And that's why I don't agree with shouting at your kids. I don't believe in smacking. I don't hit my kid. I would never do that. Because it just damages their self-esteem. It damages the person they're supposed to be. You know, we're lovable people. And yes, we do hit people's triggers, you know. But I think if a parent hits out, then they've lost control. And they need anger management, potentially.
Well, you're going to harm someone for what they are. I mean, it's funny. Do you find it strange that with ADHD, people don't understand it because they can't see it, unlike, a broken leg?
Exactly. Do you know, I'm really glad that you asked that question, because it is extremely misunderstood. It's a complex thing that not many people really understand, and I'm still learning about it. I think we still are. Just in the last few days, I've been totally hyper-focused on Twitter, and I've been having a if you want to call it a Twitter storm with a high-profile journalist over here called Peter Hitchens, mm-hmm. And it's even gone on today, where he doesn't believe it exists. Oh. He believes it's a fantasist thing, and I'm one of those people, people will tell me, don't react to it, don't give him what he needs, but I can't help
it. It's hard, isn't it?
Oh, my word, it's hard, and it's kind of like, well... I'm a protective person. I'm a very caring and defensive and protective person. If you attack me, or you attack people that are very similar to me, then I'm sorry, but I can't shut up. And I think it goes back to the bullying that I received when I was a young little boy and a teenager, that, you know, enough is enough. I'm now got a voice. I'm now an adult, or so I think I am. Adulting, horrible. But I'm responsible enough to go, do you know what? I can articulate myself. I don't know any big words, but I do know that what I've lived with all this time, that there is something different about my brain. I'm no different to anyone else, but it's just the way that I won't have anybody. I get very passionate about it. And I don't always get it right. I have to censor myself when I'm on Twitter because I really want to swear sometimes, or I really want to say something that I shouldn't. So I have to kind of try and be a little bit clever with it,
right.
Which then, you know, the ADHD community comes on board and boom, they are. So I forgot your answer.
Well,
I always forget what you've asked me.
You've answered it, but you mentioned Twitter, and that's how I came across you. You are a person who, obviously, you have ADHD, as do I and many of our listeners, but you don't hide it. You go on Twitter, you've got over 2,000 followers, and you kind of let us know what's going on in your life, the trials, the tribulations, the good, the bad, the ugly, and it's obvious that you're connecting with people, and I find admirable that you're willing to come out and just tell it the way it is, and you're going to get these naysayers, as you're experiencing, but you keep going. I like that about you.
Thank you. And before I go any further, I want to say thank you for asking me on here.
Because no problem.
This is an amazing platform that you have. And I've got a lot of respect. And I want to say hi to all your followers and the listeners here. And thank you for taking the time to want to hear what I say.
No
and
problem. That's really, you're helping us.
Well, that's the one thing. That's why I do wear my heart on my sleeve. For the simple reason, I want to help people. Because I'm not the only one. We are all going through this. And I guess because of the experiences I've had in my past, the suicidal thoughts, the mental health problems, I've still got them. I still, you know, it's a life thing.
You're not alone.
Exactly. And that, again, I'm not alone. And it is unfortunate some people can't speak up or they won't do anything. But again, I have to respect that they have their own reasons. But I guess what I'm trying to do, Russ, is put two fingers up to people and go, do you know what? You were wrong about me.
Yeah.
I am going to be successful. I am successful. I am going to prove you wrong. And I'm going to prove myself wrong because quite often I don't quite always believe that I'm good enough. And I know that is an ADHD thing.
That is an ADHD. Yes, it is.
It's frustrating. I suppose in a way that I'm trying to reach out to people that have got kids with ADHD or parents have got ADHD too, and they're struggling. You know, I don't have all the answers, but the one thing I want to do is help people try and understand there are different ways to approaching something. We don't always do that because I'm impulsive.
Mm-hmm.
I don't always think about what I'm doing. Yep. I don't always think about what I say.
Join the club.
Exactly. You know, I admire what you do here. I find it absolutely incredible that you do what you do without interrupting it. I struggle. Because when people are talking, you know, we've got that, I want to say it, otherwise I'm going to forget. Yeah. My memory is shocking. You know, I have anxiety every day. I think the trick is, and there's a lot of people say it's a gift, and yes, it can be, if you know how to endorse that gift, and you know, you've got to get to know your ADHD, because your ADHD will be different to my ADHD. It's like the tablets.
Right.
The tablets will react differently to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
So how I react to it might be different to how you react to it and someone else reacts to it. I should do more exercise, and I'm very bad at kind of going, yeah, I'm going to get up. But see, one of my things is it's not a stimulation for me. I know that it's going to release endorphins, but I can't motivate myself.
Sure.
I'm more interested in what's going on Twitter land, if you like, or getting an email or something that's exciting.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that I should do it because it'll make me happy.
Right.
Happier. But it's difficult living in this head because we're rationalizing, we're thinking, we're trying to be what other people want us to be. And it's something I'm working on. It's
But Scott, we all live that. We do. We want to get the acceptance from other people when we don't accept ourselves.
Totally. And it's annoying. But again, it's doing things like this that's, and saying what you have said, which again I really do appreciate, because I don't always see what people see about me. And it's really nice when people tell me that I'm doing something good, and then in actual fact I share it around my family, and because I want them to know, do you know what? I was seen as a slow learner. I don't process information as quick as maybe other people do. If I'm really excited about something, more than likely I will do, but still it takes a bit more time. But my family saw me as someone who was a bit kind of slow to take up something, slow to at least sort of understand what the hell he was doing.
Right.
But they didn't get me. There are so many people that do get me, like yourself and other people, but it's the people that don't live inside our heads that think, oh, why don't you just do this? Or why don't you just do that? Well, one, I'm too stubborn. I'll admit that. But two, it's my brain is not switching on. I can't just go for a job because it's a job.
Yeah.
I've got to be interested in it. And even my in-laws have said, you know, what, have you applied for a job yet? And I said, well, yeah, but I can't just go work at the shop because, one, I value myself. Two, I believe that I can do much better and much more. And I know that comes across a bit of a word that I can't think of now.
A little pompous, but, maybe.
What's that mean? I don't know.
Well, you're just think a lot of yourself.
Well, yeah, I suppose I kind of
not to
do.
Say that you are, but that perception. Hey,
no,
I
have to.
I feel for you.
I think it's because I can see, I visualize myself in an entrepreneurial environment, and that's kind of why I'm hoping to learn about Reiki or Reiki, whatever you call it, which is about people's energy and foreseeing certain things and basically getting a coaching thing. I want to empower people. I want to say, look, you're not as bad as people say you are.
Well,
simple.
Here's something that I want to say to you. And before I do that, you're not unlike a lot of us, because sometimes I'm more enamored with the dream than to go out and do it, because it's as if my brain is revving up in neutral, high RPMs, but I can't put it in drive. But I want to say this about you, Scott. I consider you to be brave. And you might not think that, but here you are. You're telling your story on Twitter, and you're being very truthful. And when you're open like that, you become susceptible to criticism or praise. And you're still you're still going through it, you know? You're saying that you have low self-esteem, but you're still plowing through it. And we all have low self-esteem.
It's the oppositional part of me.
You know, it's somebody else looking at you, and sometimes we're our own worst critic.
Yeah.
You mean definitely. I'm valuable? Oh, I didn't think that.
But yeah.
What you're doing, I mean, you are connecting with people just by the number of followers. If people didn't think that what you were saying was valid or interesting or worthwhile, you'd have maybe five people in your family following you on Twitter as opposed to over 2,000.
Yeah.
You know?
That's fair enough. Thank you. Yeah.
And one other thing.
I compare myself to other people.
One other thing that we didn't touch upon, but you were diagnosed and you just didn't sit there and say, woe is me. You went out and you did something, and you're continuing to do something with the, well, that, I guess, is it a one-act play or The Misunderstood?
Yeah, it's going to be.
Tell us about that.
It's an idea I've had for quite some time. About 5 years, maybe more, I don't know. But it's something that I really wanted to show people what it can be like to live with adult ADHD. It started off as a little boy, but the story has changed quite a number of times for logistical reasons or for a number of reasons, or just my ideas have changed, and as they do all the time.
Yeah.
But it's now, I've had about three directors on board. I've had lots of different people showing interest or getting involved, but for whatever reasons, creative differences, or just I don't get on with them. I haven't been able to move it on as far as I have, but right now I'm at a stage where I literally saw a Twitter post from a company called Roundhouse Pictures, who are incredible people. They wanted a short story. It wasn't short, so they had to help me shorten it from 39 pages to, I think it's 20 pages right now. And they now want to, basically, we're going to make a prequel, which basically it's a bit like a trailer,
mm-hmm.
And it's kind of a proof of concept. So we're going to have two characters in it. The main guy called Matthew, who is kind of based around myself and some other person. I've seen the characters, well, I haven't met them. I've seen pictures of the guy who's going to be doing it. Visually, I think he looks incredible. Just how I sort of picture it. Slightly different, but the facial emotions there. We're going to be shooting that, I believe, next month, which I really can't wait because I love being on. I've done TV work myself,
mm-hmm.
But I love watching behind the scenes of the process of how they put something like this together. And so, yeah, Misunderstood will hopefully follow from that. So if we get the funding, which I really hope happens, then they start talking about buying the rights off me. So which then my initial idea, I don't think this will work, unfortunately, because I don't think the money will be as high as I was expecting it to be. But my initial idea is to sell it. Whatever that money came to me, we'll put that back into one of the charities here in England.
Very good.
You should say the UK, to invest it in ADHD into a charity that I can give back. And then potentially start a series. I don't know. But I've got a lot more ideas up my sleeve. I'd love to do a documentary. I was going to be doing a documentary called Don't Get Me Wrong, which unfortunately it hasn't gone any further, but it's still in my head. But it's the same with every person with ADHD. We have all these ideas,
right?
But
yeah.
Can we get them started? Sometimes we can. Can we get them finished? I don't think so.
Well, you know, you're not unlike a lot of us that we need a support group, right? We can't do it all. One of our guests, they were describing about their entrepreneurial side, and I told them, I would love to run my own company, and I've run radio stations and all that stuff, but I have come to the conclusion that I would be a great vice president as opposed to a president, because I have to have someone above me just to keep me in line and keep me in the right track. And you sound as if you need support, as we all do, because we're creative.
I need guidance. I'm not very good. I'm very similar to yourself, Russ. I'm not very good at doing something by myself. I need someone to kick me out the backside and say, well, you need to go and do that. But there was someone, I was on a film project going a few years ago, and the director asked me, said, do you want to be the producer? It wasn't a paid position, but it was an experience.
Right.
And I asked him, why did you choose me to be a producer? And he goes, Scott, you're a bit like a ball. You're born in a china shop. You kind of, once you got the idea, that's it, zoom. You've got that. He says there's something about you that you just don't take no for an answer. And it's so true. I don't like the word no.
Right.
I kind of see it. When I see a barrier, I want to know how I get around it or over it or under it. However,
that's great.
Do you know what I mean?
Some people just stop.
And I don't stand by. If you really want something and it's really worth it. So I could have given up on Misunderstood a long, long time ago. I nearly did. But knowing how important it is, because people with ADHD, we're fed up with being tret.
Yeah.
Like we don't exist or we don't have a voice. We do. We are so amazing. And it's just that we need people to kind of go, whoa, do you know what? I didn't realize that. Oh, I didn't realize that this person has got ADHD. But because you can't see it, boom, we're not talking about it. Well, let's talk about it. Let's get a conversation.
Sure.
Let's start in informing people. Let's start educating people and go, well, do you know what? I didn't know that, but we're going to do this. This is going to support those kind of people. We're going to do that. Let's get active, even though I said I'm not active as in physically active. But I want people to feel like they belong. And it's about time we started to feel that we belonged.
You know,
we do.
We are our best advocates because there are so few people who don't have ADHD who are willing to go out on a limb to say it's real.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like in the UK, you're experiencing what we do, what we find every day here in North America is the fact that there are a lot of people who just don't get it and they're not willing to understand it. And if they did understand it, they could benefit from us.
Oh, completely. I'm working with, there's a lady called Lucy Hobbs, who is an amazing lady. I spoke to her today, and she works with, she does lots of speeches and she runs events on neurodiversity. And I don't know the ins and outs of it, but she is an incredible force. You know, you were saying about support systems. I am very lucky. I have got great support systems. My wife, for starters, we've been married for 8 years and together 10 years. And boy, have I tested the relationship. How I'm still married, I have no idea. But she must love me. And our little boy, of course. But then again, on Twitter, there's massive support. And that's what it is really all about. If you've got the support, and if I had what I needed as a young boy or a teenager, I probably wouldn't have grown up with the emotional issues that I have grown up with, and the flashbacks that I got.
Do you find that you dwell on that?
I don't so much, but yes, sometimes I do. I sometimes feel, for example, with my mum. My mum brought me up. My dad wasn't there so much. So I've got these issues because we're very different with me and my dad. He's very kind of to say how it is. And I'm like, whoa, I'm not used to that. And I've never lived with him. Whereas my mum is more kind of the emotional side of things. But there's some stuff going on with her, which is I'm trying to be supportive. I find it difficult because I've still got that link to the emotion.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to switch that off, but I'm slowly, it's a process, as you know yourself. It's something that, you know, if she goes in hospital, I think, oh, what's wrong? You know, I'm quite sensitive. In fact, I'm very sensitive.
We all are.
Exactly. But I think it's amazing that we are. Sensitivity is overseen too much as being what we call a snowflake, isn't it?
Well, yeah, some people look at it as a weakness.
Yeah, I don't, again, another thing I don't understand. Why is it a weakness to be sensitive to somebody, to be empathetic to somebody, to be compassionate, to understand when someone needs a hug or someone needs a listening ear? How selfish can you be? I don't know. That's just how I see it. That's how I interpret it. But that's just my personality.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow I'm doing something right. And I like that I'm doing something right because it feels good, makes me feel brilliant. When I'm asked to do these kind of things, I get really excited about it.
Well, you're helping people just by telling your story and just sitting with us and talking about it.
It's brilliant. I love that we all do something to help someone, or lots of people. Which is why I think this is incredible. The one thing I wanted to do is as a little boy, well, no, not as a little boy. I think I finally worked out. I wanted to work in the media. I'd love to work in TV.
Right.
But it's quite difficult. It's really difficult. But I'm really hoping, and it might be just the dream, I'm really hoping that once the film is done, because I'm not afraid to get hold of PR companies or the local news company and the local paper. You know, I'll tell them all about it. I've done it a few times.
Why not do it yourself? I mean, I know of people who are talking about it, and they do the selfies and they go on YouTube. And these days, with social networking and the internet, you don't need the conventional modes of conveying your message.
I do the YouTube, but it's not a big thing. I've only done a few videos, but I don't find that I'm engaging enough. I don't know. It's quite
you
hard.
Don't find, but what do the other people? You know, that's the thing. We are our own worst enemies, Scott. I feel for
I
it.
I know.
Been there, I done that.
When I look at the views, they're not jumping up, and I'm like thinking, what the hell am I supposed to do? And then when I watch some YouTube videos, I think not with anyone with ADHD. For example, there's a lady called Jessica McCabe. It's How to ADHD. She's impressive. She does the presenting thing and her husband does the production.
Uh-huh.
It's incredible. But I'm just doing it my way. So if that's working, great. I just keep doing it. And then it's a natural process. And I keep saying process because it is. It's something I didn't realize. I try and force things, but you can't force it. Because if you force it, it's not meant to be. So if you do it when it's a natural feeling, isn't it?
Yeah.
If something feels good to you,
right,
keep doing it. Someone told me once that, because I wanted to be a TV presenter once, and someone said to me, well, Scott, keep doing it. And I thought, do you know what? If I can't get chosen to be to be doing that, you kind of need to be in London. I'm the opposite side of the country. Did
right,
you hear
you're,
that?
You're nearer Scotland.
Yes, exactly. So I think, do you know what? I'll do it myself. So I think that's kind of why I started doing what I did, what I do on Twitter, because I feel comfortable, and people, it seemed to be that I was comfortable doing it. And I find I like it. Wish I could get paid for it, if I'm honest.
Well, you'll figure it out, I'm sure, because I've mentioned to a lot of people, some people last night, I'm a big badminton player, and I know people who are originally from the UK, from the London area, mm-hmm. and I mentioned about the fact that I was talking to you and where you're from, and the first thing they say is, oh, could you understand him? Oh, preconceived notion. Okay, all right. Newcastle, wow. Oh, heavy accent. No, you're very well.
Oh, I don't have the accent. My accent's not Geordie. It is quite a strong accent. I'm from Hertfordshire originally, just north of London. Well, I met my wife when I was working abroad.
Scott, I want to give you this, a round of applause for what you're doing. Accent, no accent, whatever.
Thank you.
Because you are helping people. You really are, and people are following you, and I have no doubt that you will continue to do this, and you'll find your way. That's what we have to do.
Absolutely.
We can't stop. As much as we sometimes want to feel that way, we just got to plod along. Keep going.
Absolutely. I'll never shut up.
Well, that's good.
For myself.
On that note,
and so thank you so much to your listeners as well.
Well, they're all around the world, and I want to be honest about this. We had a situation. I interviewed Scott a few days ago, and digital and analog didn't jive, and something happened. His portion of the interview got removed somehow. And this is our second interview. And you know what, Scott? I think this one is even better than the first.
Wow, that's brilliant. I look forward
I
to
really
listening
do.
Back.
All right. Well, you have a great day. We're going to keep in touch with you. And I'm looking forward to finding out more about that trailer. And hopefully it'll be picked
Absolutely.
Up and, you know, wonderful things will happen.
It will. I'll make it happen.
Again, thank you, Scott, for taking the time to speak with us, and a special big thank you for not doing the interview once, but doing it twice. As I had mentioned, we had a bit of a technical problem, which has since been rectified, but Scott was willing to join us again and just to do the interview again. And it's a little bit different than the initial interview, and as I said to Scott, in my humble opinion, it's even better. So thank you, Scott. If you'd like to reach out to him, go on Twitter. He follows us. We follow him. And if you're wondering where he is, just type in respect for ADHD. You could add at Scott Laddie. That's two T's on Scott and Laddie, L-A-T-T-Y. And you'll connect with him on Twitter. And he's not one to be silent. He makes a lot of, creates a lot of posts. Very interesting. And the good, the bad, the ugly, he says it all. And again, another round of applause for Scott. Good job there, Scott. And thanks again for doing it not once, but twice. A classic example of, at first you don't succeed, do it again. Well, that's about it for our Club ADHD, the podcast, edition number 40. I hope you enjoyed it. Of course, Club ADHD is presented by the Center for ADHD Awareness Canada, CADAC. Check out the website, CADDAC.ca. Club ADHD, the podcast, the Facebook page, and the Twitter account. It's there for all of us adults with ADHD. Well, as we wrap things up for this go-around, I look forward to presenting yet another edition of Club ADHD. When will that happen? In a week's time, maybe 2 weeks. I'm still about a week behind right now. I fell behind again, but it was the flu. Honestly, that's what happened. I could not talk very well with the flu, and I didn't feel that good. But I'm feeling better, so that's good. And if you're suffering from the flu or a cold, I hope you feel better real soon as well. And by all means, keep those fluids coming. This is your cordial and ADHD host, Russ LeBlanc, wishing you a great day. And don't forget, whenever you have a chance, to shout it out loud, ADHD is real. Bye for now.